Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle, and other places here and beyond. It is Thursday, March the 12th, 2020, and I am with my good friend in Florida, AJ, and we're going to shoot the shit today. But before we do, I need to talk about something, at least generically. I have tried as a podcaster to do the best I can to level with you. And again, no one's perfect. Sometimes we make mistakes, kind of like that caged Calvinist thing. I misinterpreted what somebody said, and I didn't technically misinterpret it in a way where it was not useful as a concept, but I misinterpreted it in terms of its historical context. And so I needed to explain that to my listeners. That's just who I am. I don't want to go into details right now, but in the last 24 hours, I've had to delete two podcasts from my from the Little Saigon Report. So if you notice there are a couple missing, that's why. And I don't want to tell you any more specifics than this. Just because I interview someone, just because I have someone who I talk with, does not imply, A, that what they're saying is 100% the truth, because even people who are honest can make mistakes. And B, it doesn't imply that you should not yourself do some kind of research. It's hard to go check people and to check their facts, but we should all try to do it. And I would even add this before I continue into the podcast with AJ, because we're not going to talk about this. If someone makes an extraordinary fucking claim, like the world is going to end, then it is entirely appropriate to ask questions about motivations. It is entirely appropriate to ask questions about why they're doing what they're doing. And if you have been a straight shooter with someone that says the world is coming to an end, and you find out that they're duplicitous, then I think it is perfectly okay to question that opinion. And that's all I really want to say about that for right now. And good morning, AJ. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dan. I'm doing well down here in Florida, but I'm surrounded by the coronavirus. I've got cases reported left and right of me. I got the monkey herpes. I don't know what to do, Dan. I'm a bit of a loss, and no better person to be speaking with this morning than you. So I'm hanging in there, but otherwise, just all confusion from the media. They're throwing all this information at me, and I'm not sure I can process it all. How about you in Seattle? Have you seen any signs on the ground or narratives within the news only?
Mostly it's been news so far, you know.
Same here.
A lot of fear mongering. I had what I would call an annoying cold for about a week that I'm almost over. And maybe it was this thing, maybe it wasn't. But it occurred to me, and I talked about this in a podcast the other day, but it occurred to me that if you were going to do a false flag, if you were going to do a PSYOP, probably the best one to use is some type of an epidemic or plague.
Yes, I enjoyed that podcast and that section of it when you went through all that. It would such a open-ended way to send people into fear and not have to put any proof in the pudding, because they can say, I mean, we all have experienced the flu at some point, and I think I picked it up earlier this January, and it was a pretty difficult strain, but with rest, and it did also, they mentioned it comes back, but it didn't come back as bad. Like, there was a time in February that I also, there was like a one-day thing, just, but not nearly as bad as the first time, and then the past 2 days, I felt like a little bit of tiredness, but that could have been in my head, because as you so eloquently stated in that podcast, it's a most diabolical plan to put that out in the ether and have people just turn on themselves and buy toilet paper for some strange reason. They didn't. I wish they would have listened to you about the food, water, and shelter, but I can't get rubbing alcohol. I needed rubbing alcohol not for hand sanitizer, for something chemistry related. It's all sold out. So I wish the zombies would wake up and focus on the water more than the toilet paper and the rubbing alcohol. But they as in whoever the controllers are, whatever they might be, the devil, are really quite the scheme here, because now we're just turning on ourselves because they can put out the news stories, NBA canceled, or you can't go to Europe anymore, big fucking deal. These things, they can say all that and cancel flights and shut down borders, and it just looks more like Agenda 21 type Orwellian practice than anything at all, because the flu has always been around and we get over it. I wouldn't want to be elderly, and I hope everyone's getting their rest with if they do feel some symptoms, but it is so open-ended that they're able to put this out there and just let it stir amongst the masses.
It is. It's really messed up. And here's the other thing too, is I don't really know for certain how real the virus is, but here's what I will say. If there's a virus out there that's causing something, it's not natural. It's probably a bioweapon at this point. Based upon its behavior, based on what it's doing, and what I've read, it doesn't seem like a natural occurrence if it's out there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And I have been thinking about this, that I agree with you, that there is something out there that's not natural. I wonder if maybe they've always done something like this and they put an extra special splice in it this year to, because they knew they were going to go with the, this narrative. They need this. You talk about narratives a lot with the elections. I see them do that with so many things in addition to the elections. So is the flu even natural? We don't know. MRSA, they say it came about, super bugs just getting resistance to each other. My sister died of MRSA. So it's quite a sensitive subject to me when I've done some research, and they're going to say, it came up because we got too good with the antibiotics and resistant. But what all have they been doing throughout our lives? And I question everything. There was a report someone dug up from 60 Minutes from 1980 talking about a flu superbug, and they were encouraging people to get vaccines for it. And it turned out to cause some neurotoxicity. And we know that's an issue with potentially too many vaccines. I'm not a complete anti-vaxxer. My kids are vaccinated. But how many shots do we need? And what's in them? There's no transparency. So I back to your point, is this, a biological weapon of sorts? Yes, it definitely is. And have they just ramped it up this year because they want to create more fear? And I tied that in with, there haven't been many school shootings lately. Not that I want there to be school shootings, but I feel like they ran out of bullets there, sorry for the bad pun, and they needed to go with another way to create fear, because people might have been catching on. Like Noah Posner, you brought up, was in Sandy Hook, but he's also over in Syria and other places. So is this their new narrative? Is this their new way to keep us in fear? And so far, yeah, it definitely seems that way.
Well, I think I gotta tip my hat, because I personally saw something like this coming, but I did not see this. I thought that it would be something like, a fake terrorist nuke on a city or something. This is actually perfect, but it's perfect in a way. And I suppose the reason why I didn't see it is because to pull something like this off, you need a lot of people on the end. You need a lot of coordination to pull this off. This is in many ways, this is more difficult than 9/11.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people out there who could tell you that a virus is a bioweapon. There's a lot of people out there that could do the research and do the analysis. So unlike 9/11, this is like basically using the murder weapon and then leaving it behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would agree. And they seem to be secretive with the testing, like who gets to do the testing, where the tests go back to. So I know I told you back in January that I felt like I could have gone in, requested a test, and if they were able to do it at the time, they might have told me that I had, the super bug or whatever this thing is. So they're controlling all that, which is very, of course, smart of them. They're not dumb people. They wouldn't be able to get away with all they did if they were inept. But that they seem really to be using this, to subtly push it in. And unlike the nuclear attack or something, which would also have a lot of loose ends to tie up, but would destroy a lot of infrastructure and open things up like a Building 7 scenario, and people have caught on and are looking out for that this is coming from a place where you and I aren't able to do any sort of verification except speculate that this is a bioweapon. We both agree with it, but we couldn't prove that to someone. I mean, you can prove Building 7 shouldn't have fallen like that. You can talk about videos, you know, no parents picking up the kids at Sandy Hook, things like that can be brought up. But with this, how does anybody come out and try to create awareness that we're being fucked with, other than just speculation? Do you have any insight into that?
No, and you make a good point, because it is sort of like leaving the murder weapon behind. But imagine you left a murder weapon behind that was microscopic, you know, tiny. That's number one. And number two, the murder weapon might kill you, or at least that's the fear. Well, who wants to look for that? You know, who wants to find the fucking murder weapon you'll probably never find, but if you do, you'll probably get sick and die. That's and I'm not saying that's true, but that's the kind of message, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's.
So it's it is kind of brilliant.
It is. And we don't, and with them doing this whole host of shutdowns last night, announcing things, it's only reinforcing it and allowing them to keep control and put people in more fear. And I don't know what your thoughts are on the placebo effect, but I think there's something there, and it can work both ways. So it's going to create that almost trust in government, not from us, but from a lot of people, where they're going to be begging for that vaccine next year. And there's way more to this than just try to put another vaccine in our arms, but that they're able to sort of look like the superheroes, that they're going to come in and clean this all up and nothing to worry about, folks, if that's what they decide to do. I don't know what their end game is here.
Well, I mean, it looks like they're trying to do is turn this into the functional equivalent of World War III.
Mm-hmm. Did you see?
Oh. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, did you see the? There's a 15-minute video of a group of corporate people, some government officials, basically a stupid think tank, and they're. It's in October, and they're game planning what would happen in a flu-type scenario, superbug gets out. And I know you referenced before...
Event 201.
Was that what it was called? I must have forgotten. That's my fault.
It's okay.
You've brought that up before.
Go ahead.
I saw it with fresh eyes in light of how this is getting ramped up. I watched the 15-minute clip. And, you know, it's just parallels exactly. This was, you know, a planned World War III. And these people are, you know, Lucifer's foot soldiers. So it's just so disgusting, Dan. It just breaks my soul, because I feel fortunate that I'm not buying into the fear. I'm not worried about it, because there's nothing you can do. You could die anytime. And I feel healthy, and I got over whatever I had. And spring is coming. And I'm getting the same from you. It's just all the people out there buying toilet paper and what they must be thinking. You know, is the world going to end, or are they going to die, or are the kids going to die? It's such a bad head state to be in that it's just frustrating. I'm sorry. It makes me sad and frustrated about
it's
that
sad
they would
and frustrating.
Do this.
It is. And it's sad and frustrating that the most rational response of people to a situation like this is to go get toilet paper.
I'm so looking forward to talking about this with you. What are they thinking? What are they doing?
Well, it's not them. Let's think about the placebo effect for a second, because it's not just about the placebo effect. It's about social engineering and mind control in general. And the thing about mind control is a big portion of it is getting people stressed the fuck out. You gotta get people so stressed out, so fucking burnt out, that they will believe all kinds of crazy ass nonsense, and they will do all kinds of crazy ass things. That's number one. Number two, if you go into a crowd, there's ways of doing this. Like, it's not the right thing to do, but let's say you hung out with some friends who did improv, and you said, we're gonna go to a party tonight, and then we're gonna pretend to get sick. And I'm not talking about right now. Imagine you did this when no one's afraid of shit, but you go into a crowd, and you get sick, and you cough, and then another person gets sick and coughs and falls over. I promise you, within 5 or 10 minutes, there will be additional people in that crowd who feel sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's called sympathetic illness, and it's a real thing. People will get sick if they see people sick. And if you pull it off correctly, You can get a lot of people sick, and there's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, and that's, of course, what they've got way more than a couple of improv actors going on with the control of the media. And I had to tell myself the last 2 days when I felt like I was getting dragged back in, and I had the thought, well, oh, they said you can have it and it's going to come back. And like, you know, snap out of it. You know, you can't let this, you know, get into your head. And I feel much better today. And it of course, all that's easier said than done. I did get my sleep and try not to do too much, anything stressfully. But imagine if someone doesn't have that insight to slow down, or very few people have our anarchist viewpoint of no trust, whatever, in the government and using them as contrarian indicators. Some are just lapping it up so yeah. quickly that they're going to just feed, you know, a vicious cycle feed on themselves. And it definitely is a real thing, that placebo effect of the sympathetic illness, I think you called it, or sickness.
Yeah, sympathetic
yeah.
illness.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing. Sympathetic illness impacts, like there have been cases, and you can research this yourself, there have been cases of husbands whose wives have been pregnant, and the husbands themselves take on the features of pregnancy, biologically, believe it or not. You should do your own research on this. But sympathetic illness is a real thing.
I've heard the husbands and wives pregnant thing.
And that's called sympathetic effect. Pregnancy, by the way. But yeah, it's a real thing. And if you wanted to pull off a false flag that would have the potential of spreading fear as fast as possible, this is actually pretty – I didn't really – you know why I didn't think this was an option several months ago? Because I felt that there was no way that they could control it in the end. Like if they really did release a bioweapon, they would – their own hubris would be their undoing. And I still kind of stick with that. But if it's not completely a bioweapon, and if some of this or maybe even half of it is psychological, then this is fucking brilliant. I mean, it's evil. It's evil as fuck, right? But it's also kind of fucking brilliant.
Oh, it's diabolically evil and brilliant at the same time. And let's suppose, just under the assumption, let's assume that every year they put out a flu, a strain of it. You know, that's their thing. And they blame it on it being, oh, everyone's indoors with recirculated air. And maybe that's true, but we're just going to assume that they always do that. And this year they said, okay, we're just going to ramp up a notch as far as whatever we make in the Petri dish. And we're going to really ramp up the fear, which they've done for sure. And that's where we find ourselves today. That's where I'm at. So it is a bioweapon for me. That's just my opinion. Can't prove it because, yeah, the smoking gun is lying around, but it's microscopic. And if that's the case, then, you know, hopefully this clears up in, you know, down the road. At least it has for me. And I've got my wife's had a little something here or there. Both my kids have, and it's been like the flu with a touch extra in it, but it does clear out. So, and we didn't get any flu shots or anything like that. Just get, you know, rest and try to eat healthy. So hopefully that's the case, but what effect is this going to have as far as the martial law stuff and them putting the clamps on the borders, testing out the Agenda 21? Have you seen anything more of effects on the streets? Cause you live in a big city, with those things regarding, possible controls?
Other than the streets being quiet, I haven't seen any obvious indicators of the plague. And that doesn't mean that people aren't sick. It could mean that people are just staying at home. But I haven't seen anything wild or crazy yet as far as like what would indicate, you know, like the pictures out of Wuhan a month ago where people are walking down the street and falling over.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything like that yet. Here's the thing though. It could be that this thing is only now beginning to get horrible in the United States. You know why I want to call bullshit on that though, dude? Because I live in Seattle, and every fucking person that lives here is told that we're an Asian tech hub, we're a Pacific tech hub, we have so many flights to Asia every day, oh, we got Microsoft, Google, Amazon, blah, blah, blah. I was fed that shit every contract I worked on. So the reason why I call bullshit is there were people flying back in November and December between Seattle and China every fucking day. Maybe not direct flights. Guess what? That makes it worse. So the reason why I think I call bullshit on this to some extent is because it should be almost as bad in Seattle right now as it was in Wuhan 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
It should be. It should be.
Yeah. And what were you going to say?
Go ahead.
No, if these, the professionals, the ones doing the lab tests and reporting back, knew what they were doing and they didn't want to have, create everyone dying, then they would have shut everything down. You said that on a podcast 2.5 months ago, and I was like, oh yeah, this, I'm not going to take this as seriously, because I always want to be open to anything, not because who knows what they might pull, but they would have shut things down. And then you would have seen everything you just said living in that Asian tech hub. So that brings me back to where I think this is a super bug. They have ramped up the narrative in the last 24 hours. It's a great excuse for the markets to get reset a little bit, which I looked at the S&P, it was down 8%. This afternoon, and I think it's down 30% overall. Not that I don't have any money in the markets. I'm not upset about it, but I do know they like to play games, and you see what happened in 2001, 2008. It's been a long time, and they've got to wipe those 401ks a bit off the table. And that creates more stress and fear too, but also just to get people out of the market, stop mouth ones that are actively trading, the retail traders, you call them, and just fuck with people. So there's that element to it. There's the fear. They like to keep us weak, and that I don't think they want to kill us because if you're a sheep herder, you don't kill all your sheep. You'll no longer
unless
have any sheep to herd around.
No, can I pause you for a second though?
Yeah.
Unless you can't feed them.
That's true.
If you can't feed your sheep, if I have 100 sheep and I have food for 20, if I give the 20 worth of food to all 100, I'll lose all 100. If I kill 80, I get to keep 20.
That I cannot disagree with that. I agree. And I don't know anything about the food supply. Yeah, that's so I can't disagree.
Well, isn't it funny that the focus was toilet paper?
We still need to address that.
That's pretty fucking important because it is the stupidest throughout human history, most of human history. And if no one believes me, please do your own fucking research. But for hundreds of thousands of years, toilet paper was not a thing.
No.
In fact, I would contend for most of American history, toilet paper was not really a thing. I mean, yeah, you might get some paper and wipe your ass with it, but having rolls and rolls of toilet paper available was not a fucking thing. But you know what you always need invariably as a human being? What do we
hand
all...
Hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer. What do I say at the end of every fucking podcast when I ask for money at the end, which is funny because everyone else asks at the beginning? What do I say? Food, water, shelter.
Shelter. Yes, my
favorite. Those are things you fucking need. But that's my point. Those are things you need. You don't need toilet paper.
So, Dan, are you saying, because I can't disagree with the sheep thing, definitely that's on the table, that this whole toilet paper is perhaps a distraction to get the really dumb sheep get that panic hoard, that hoarding instinct out via the toilet paper so they don't realize that there's actually a shortage of food. That's really interesting. Okay.
Yes, dude. And here's why. Because famines are sometimes engineered. So even if the famine that's coming, and I think it is coming now almost with 100% certainty, even if the famine that is coming is an engineered famine, like the potato famine in Ireland back in the 1840s and 50s, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Even if this famine is engineered, it's still a fucking famine. And in a famine, you need food. You don't need toilet paper.
No, and I
can't even
that.
Believe, you're an adult, and I'm not talking to you, but can you believe adults don't meditate on this shit?
It's quite the indictment of the people we're surrounded by. It's like that Lion King movie, where it's, I'm surrounded by idiots. I don't know how you can think toilet paper of all things. I could give them the hand sanitizer, fine, but and food, of course, but toilet paper? People are pretty dumb, Dan.
Go ahead.
I've been reflecting on this whole thing about, I don't think, we've talked before, and so have many others, about cognitive dissonance and psychological effects. But I'm really coming to the conclusion that these people are almost like NPCs, they might say, or robots. I mean, or the vaccines in the ironically named smart device have done such a, you know, dumbing down. Okay, I'll leave that open. But it's almost like the robot NPC meme is a real thing with so many examples, but this is the cherry on top. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, because that's the only way I can reconcile that people would want to go and buy toilet paper in a crisis.
It makes sense in a way, in the way you describe it, that individual autonomy has been impacted by the fact that, yes, people have smart devices. And yes, I think people let or allow their smart devices to sort of do the thinking for them. But it's even worse than that in a way. It is very much, it's kind of like, I had a podcast a while back about puzzle boxes and how do you know you're not in a puzzle box? How do you know you're not in a complex Skinnerian situation? And again, when I say Skinnerian, I'm referencing B.F. Skinner and behaviorism. But how do you know you're not in an input-output box? And when I look at these people, I say they are in input-output boxes. They're interacting with a world that is in no way connected with reality.
Not at all. And so from that, there's this idea floating online that I do not subscribe to, no proof in it, but people will pull this number of 144,000 from the Bible. And if not using that as a source, I'm explaining this concept that I find interesting. That there's 144,000, let's just call them living souls. So people like yourself, the listeners, others out there that can see through, you know, have the they live glasses on of this reality and are not just so disconnected. And with all that's gone on in this situation currently we're in, that people can't see through everything. Not that I'm not asking if that's true, but is it possible that there is like two different types of people here? Like literally different types, not intelligent types. Yes, they're not going to be as smart because their brains aren't connected all the way that ours are, but that they're literally not living souls. And that's a horrible thing to say, but I mean, I think of all the churches that are filled up with Christians who are great people, but yet, you know, you've had your experiences at church where they're just not always open to putting up their boundaries with the government intrusion in their lives and are not able to take those stands and those leaps of faith that you, of course, have and others have, but are few and far between. So I'm not at all picking on Christians there's the atheists as well. And so many groups that, you know, they cling to these identities, but yet when it comes to actually having autonomy for themselves in a connection with a higher power, I don't see it there because they wouldn't be putting up with this horseshit. So that my question was not about whether there are actually 144,000, but could there be two different types of people here, two different consciousnesses?
There could be. I'll tell you that comes from Revelation 7, and I won't read the whole thing, but it specifically the headline in my Bible in front of me is the 144,000 of Israel sealed. And I could read this if you want me to.
Oh, please. I would like that. I would.
After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea against any tree. Wow. I almost want to stop there. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe, the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher. 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. That's seven. Seven, technically. That's number seven. So it continues, but yeah. So that's in Revelations.
Thank you for reading that. And when it's written as sealed, how do you infer that? What does that mean? I know what sealed means, but.
Well, in the context of God, I mean, you know what a royal seal is, right? Where they take essentially, it's like, you know, back in the day when people would be all cutesy with writing, they would take a little wax seal and put their seal on the wax so that you know where it came from.
Okay.
I would say this is essentially God sealing, yes, for eternity. These are the numbers from these tribes. Now, do I know for certain that this refers to, because this refers to a belief among some Christians called it's on the tip of my tongue. You know I'm in a crappy mood today. This always screws up my cognition. Oh, the rapture. Have you ever heard of the rapture?
Yeah, that's probably where I saw some information that I brought it up with from that site, from those sources. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this refers to the people that talk about the rapture refer to this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's coming into place for me cognitively and it, as the days go on and I spend more time here, it seems like there is some sort of sealed people like that can have that higher connection and authentic connection of faith in God and are not going to get pushed around by the system, no matter what it means. If they lose their job or they've got to make some hard choices, they're going to keep that faith. And does that have a good ending with in the Bible with what happens after Revelation 7 with those people? Or what do they do?
Can I just say before I continue that I am not a biblical scholar? They just get that out of the way. Okay. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a biblical scholar. So I can't really give you a good educated answer. But what I can tell you is this. The people that say they know, some of them say, this refers to people being taken before tribulations, okay? So before the really bad shit happens, that's one interpretation.
Okay.
There are other interpretations, okay? I don't really know which one is correct, but the common kind of cartoonish, you know, I'm going to watch, because there were these silly movies like Left Behind, you know, Left Behind movie, and I always forget the name of that guy that was in it, but he was a Hollywood actor who became a Christian, or maybe he was a Christian and a Hollywood actor, but he made that Left Behind movie a long time ago, like 20 years ago, I think. And it was basically about what if on one day a bunch of people disappeared. And that was his fictional version of the rapture.
Okay. Okay. I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember hearing about media, seeing a trailer. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a great movie. I didn't enjoy it. And then they remade it. They actually remade that movie with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, wait. Oh, I love what's the one where they're on the plane? Oh, put the baby back in the box. Con Air. Oh, I love that movie.
This is not Con Air, but he plays a pilot. He does play a pilot.
Oh, okay.
yeah, he plays a pilot. And here's the other thing, too. I am not a biblical scholar myself. I don't claim to be. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I've seen enough things in the last year or two that even though my faith in myself isn't always so great, I haven't lost my faith in God. So I don't really know what to tell you, but I'm pretty certain that if there are people that get out of the painful part of what's going to happen, I know I'm not one of them. I'm going to see it. I'm going to go through it, and it might very well kill me, but I'm not getting a magical card that lets me to, you know, just because I have faith in God doesn't mean I believe that I'm going to get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
And that's we've talked about this before, but my issue with the paradox, Pascal's Wager, where someone would just have faith because they think they're going to get eternal life, whether it's something pleasant here or in the afterlife. You should have faith because of your – I feel myself I have – my faith is connected to the experiences I've had and the things I've seen that have shown me that there is much, there's a creator. And I wasn't thinking, I didn't even know about the exit, the sweeping them off before all the bad stuff happens with Tia Tawaki. I was thinking more just, there just seems to be a separation of people that get it or don't. And I could not disagree with someone that wants to list out all the ways we've been dumbed down. It just really comes up, and this toilet paper thing took the cake, because how the fuck are you going to buy toilet paper on?
I think toilet paper tells you exactly who people worship. If people went out on that day and decided to buy a bunch of toilet paper, I know exactly who they have faith in, and it's not God.
Yep, that's correct. Was there a catalyst for people to even do? Did they run some? I must have missed the stories where they told people that you need to go, or was it just a circular?
Was it hysteria that was caused, or was it hysteria that just happened? Is that the thing?
Was there a news story or something that they're stimulating the hysteria? It's definitely hysteria, but was there a catalyst where they got people to start, or did they just start? Maybe they took it off the shelves and were like, hey, oh, you watch out, we're running out of toilet paper, and then they can get people to buy it. Because I was at the drugstore trying to get the rubbing alcohol, and they're like, well, we're going to get some tomorrow, but you got to get here early. And I was like, I'm not coming early. But you never know what they can do with the supply and demand to make it look like there's a shortage when there's really a ton in the back. But I just didn't know if you heard if there was a catalyst story like, oh, you got to go get your toilet paper. I could maybe at least give them that. Not that you should fall for that.
Okay. So let me talk about that. Starting before Christmas, okay? Starting back in December, I noticed I buy certain things at the store because of the way I live, okay? I live in a situation where I don't have a big kitchen, so I do have to buy canned food because, frankly, I don't have all the – I have a heating element, you know, a whatchamacallit, a hot plate, but I don't really have, you know, a lot of logistics for making food completely from scratch. So I buy canned food, and I found it interesting starting in December – all of the sales that would usually exist, like buy one, get two free, stuff like that, all of a sudden it started going away. Like all of a sudden, and again, when you think about the strategy of inflation and hiding it from people, it makes a lot of sense to hide it by saying, oh, there are going to be no specials right now. Well, if the special was a 50% reduction in your cost of food, then your food went up 50%, whether it was a canceled sale or not. On a practical level, your food price has just doubled. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you still there? Hello? Hey, AJ? AJ, I can't hear you.
Dan, we had 30 seconds, and I wasn't sure if you hit the mute button. But no, it went. You didn't hit the mute button. You're back now. But it might have been an outage. You're coming in clear now. You were talking about the cans. How you noticed the specials.
I noticed that the price of canned food doubled for me personally. Of course, the way they hide it is by canceling sales and specials. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. I was thinking if I had observed it myself. My wife does most of the grocery shopping.
The food thing doesn't impact every region of this country in the same way. It is very, very sensitive to where you're living. There are some parts of this country, like Chicago, that naturally pay less for food, if that makes sense.
It does.
Because it's a logistical hub, okay? Seattle is a logistical hub, but not for food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get food shipped. Yeah, we get food shipped in. We don't really produce tons and tons of food vis-a-vis what we need to survive. So I think that's what – and also, we're talking about food that is technically preserved food. So it's a kind of food that you would want to basically buy a lot of if you thought that a famine was coming. That's what I wanted to say about the toilet paper, dude. The toilet paper is the wrong goddamn direction to go. If you do think there's something bad coming, it is so stupid, so pointless, that there's no reason. And yes, I think they probably launched a story. They probably introduced a story to get people all amped up about it. But do I think that there's any logic behind it? No.
I agree with everything you said, and that's what I was asking, if they played some game, because how do people even get toilet paper?
Simple answer, AJ. They did.
They must. I think they did something, because how would you? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Well, Any more thoughts on the toilet paper before we move on?
I think what's coming is a famine. And I've been saying this for a few weeks now, and I'll say it again because people should really listen if they're out there. The thing you should be afraid of right now is not toilet paper shortages. It really isn't. And this virus, as bad as it might be for some people, that too is something that you can live through a sickness, okay? When you don't have food, there is no solution except for to find food.
Yes, and I have taken your advice and continuing to accumulate rice. It's fairly inexpensive and it lasts a long time. And I enjoy it with some curry. Tried that the other day. It was very good. And it has some other health benefits and mixing some things. It's very easy to make with hot water. Easy to create a boilerplate if the electricity goes out. So I think that is very good advice, Dan, to have people stock up on something, not go overboard. But I like to imagine, okay, what if tomorrow I wake up and everything's closed and it's going to be closed for 2 months. What's it looking like for my family? And you really have to put yourself in those shoes because everyone has been so conditioned to be able to just walk somewhere, get in their car and get food whenever they want. I mean, that's quite an unusual luxury throughout human history, whether the food good or bad, it's still there. And it might be changing in the near future. So perhaps this toilet paper was like a test run for them to see how shortages get handled and how people react. Cause I think they love their narratives.
AJ, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I don't think it's that at all. I think they're scared shitless that people are going to start buying food en masse.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That agreed. I think they play a lot of angles. So I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's okay to disagree, but that's just my opinion. I think they're scared shitless. I think you could be right too. It could be just another mind game. But my instincts are telling me right now that they know as much as I do about just-in-time logistics, and they know the system is really sensitive. You know, it's like, what do you need for a famine, AJ? Well, all you really need is no food. And if you live in a city, well, cities, for the most part, can't really support themselves. So if you cut off the food to a city, at least in terms of that city, you have a famine.
Yeah, especially the big cities like Seattle or Los Angeles, Miami, where there's no – I mean, at least if you lived in Kansas City, you have a lot more opportunities to make a move, but you get being so – locked up and nothing within a decent radius. That's always the ocean, though.
The Pacific Ocean looks polluted and terrible from what I've been able to see. The Pacific Ocean is having a hard time making enough food for orca whales.
Yeah.
I'm seeing hawks and eagles, falcons, that should be feeding on animals in estuaries and closer to the water coming in the Little Saigon. You tell me what that means.
They're running out of food, and I have seen a lot more hawks in the last 6 months. And the day you did your podcast on talking about the birds of prey, the bald eagle, I've never seen a bald eagle down here in Florida. After your podcast, later that afternoon, my wife showed me a picture that she had taken of a bald eagle down here in Florida. It was very Carl Jung synchronistic. I know you're not a huge fan of him, but to me, those are little messages of truth that you are onto something with this observation you're having regarding the animals shifting their predatory patterns based on a scarcity. So we should take note. There was a dead deer on the side of the road, a full grown deer just dead on the side. I don't know if it got the monkey herpes or the coronavirus, but never seen that before either. Not hit by a car. Just dead on the side. So it's strange. And I think especially where you are in Seattle, you'll see even more strangeness because of the setup. Back to what we mentioned earlier with the lack of resources naturally occurring.
Well, you know, it used to be a natural spot here. Like Washington State, when I was a kid, had at least a semi-healthy ecosystem. What's happened in the last, 40, 50 years is quite sad. But it used to have a healthy ecosystem in this state. We used to have really healthy salmon runs, okay? Eagles wouldn't have to come to Little Saigon to find food. They would have fish and salmon and a plenty, okay? It's just weird. And by itself, these observations, they're just anecdotal, okay? They don't prove anything. But as a logical person, if someone were to say, Dan, should I be more concerned about toilet paper or food? To me, you'd have to be fucking mentally ill to say anything else but food. That's where I'm coming from right now.
Yeah.
Because even if we can still produce food 5 years from now or 2 years from now, it's fucking irrelevant. You have to eat all the time. You just can't go into a state of, a frozen state like you're in suspended animation and wait for the first good crop.
No, you absolutely can't. You talked about proving. That's also something I've shifted or I've meditated on, is not caring about trying to prove stuff to other people anymore, because at this point, it doesn't matter. They're so far gone and there's so few of us, whatever you want to call it, whatever we are, that can see things and have awareness, that we have to just stay together. That's why I'm looking forward to the podcast we're doing on the encryption. And make these observations and just put them out there. Not worry if it's lock proof, because we don't have the resources to run scientific method type testing, but use those anecdotal observations of pattern changes to create inferences. And if we ever see the writing on the wall and hear in our dreams about, what's that lady in Montana? What does she say, Dan? In Colorado?
You mean the woman from who played that role in Stephen King's novel when it was done a miniseries? Come to Colorado.
That's it.
I always forget her name, yeah. But the old lady in Colorado Springs. Come to Colorado Springs.
Yes, I like that one. That's a good impression. And if the things coalesce in such a way that we see again the writing on the wall to make a move. I'm open for it, because this is just the beginning. And you've been talking so aptly, described great discontinuity. It's here.
It is here.
What's going to happen next?
I don't like doing it, because I feel like I run the risk of scaring people, and I don't want to scare people. But if I were to say, are we inside the game right now, the great discontinuity? Well, I think we've been in it for a few years, but it's just that now it's getting really fucking interesting. And I'd also say this too. As bad as this pandemic may or may not be, it is the opening act. Mm-hmm. What happens next is not going to be better. This is one of the things I think people need to understand. It's not like we have this pandemic and then everything will be okay once all the old people are dead. Because that's one of the things that's sort of floating around as a meme. Well, it's just going to kill the old people, so we'll all be okay. No, A, we don't know what's going to happen yet. We don't. All we see are news stories. I have not seen any direct evidence yet of anything other than what I've been told in news stories. That's number A, right? But B, why would we assume that at this point in human history, it's going to be a pandemic and then everything will be okay? Look at the situation economically, okay? We were in dire straits economically for a while. We've been in a bad spot economically as a civilization and as a country for a long, long time, for at least 20 years, but probably for the last 10 years. And then last September, you have multiple liquidity crises with banks, and then Powell starts pumping massive amounts into the repo market. Well, isn't that fucking coincidental?
Yeah.
Isn't it coincidental that we started slipping into a financial crisis right before we get into this pandemic?
Not at all. And I love your analogy of the nitrous oxide booster car. And it's one of the parts of your podcast that I love, is not that you're fear mongering, is you're being realistic. The glass is not half full. Glass is not half empty. The glass is broken. That's a great Dan Sullivan quote. So it's good to be aware, and telling people, hey, go get some extra bags of rice, that's not telling anyone to make a drastic move, but to be aware and look out for these cracks, which are quite evident to those that want to look for them. And how are you going to take care of your family? A lot of your listeners have family. I've talked about, I do myself, and you have family. That what are you going to do? Because I'm not going out without a fight, or not a fight where I'm going to be shooting bullets, but a fight to move into a position at some point, or create a position where I'm not relying on anybody to survive. And that's what I really have enjoyed about listening to your work over the year here, is getting those insights and making me meditate on what would I do and acting on it. So thank you, Dan. I have not said that enough to you, because it's really beneficial, and it's not fear mongering, because it's realistic.
And the other thing is this, is that if we are in the midst of a beginning of a series of events, things like having a Skype conversation like we're having right now, things like that could stop working. Okay, there could come a time in the next few weeks, maybe, when I won't even be able to do a podcast because the internet will be, for all intents and purposes, locked down. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying it could happen, because that is the window we're in. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I would never tell people go buy gold or silver. I would never tell people go invest money in the market. All of those things seem speculative and dangerous. But it seems like common sense at this point to have some extra food on hand.
Yep.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Food that you would somewhat enjoy, that you could always eat later. Things don't happen so quickly. And it's great advice that you give.
And also, because of the way the food works, AJ, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but because of the way food works these days, because of just in time, there could come a time in 2 to 3 weeks where you won't be able to buy food. The food will be taken over. The food will be rationed in every fucking city that has the pandemic. Think about what this pandemic lets governments get away with, AJ. Mm-hmm. What can't they do? Under medical martial law, what are the limits to what they can do?
That I've been reflecting on it and seeing that as one of their big angles that they're going for. I've already implemented a few in certain areas. I've read at least news articles about National Guard coming into places, and it's endless because, oh, it's all for your health. And we know people put up with so much other stuff. We know they're going to put up with boots on the ground, Third Amendment violation type stuff for the safety and health of the community. So it's like that time machine podcast last time we spoke about their quantum computer probability indicator. I don't know what they're cooking up in there, what they're looking at, but I know they've got options on the table, and they already have and will continue to test them.
Well, here's what I think about medical martial law. I think that there's absolutely no limit under martial law to what they can do. And under medical martial law, it gets absurdly worse. And if you look back at Katrina, what was one of the things that came out of Katrina back in 2005? Well, they went around, they collected weapons. Mm-hmm. So why don't we believe they won't do the same thing here? Why wouldn't they do it? It seems smart. Why wouldn't they go around and pick out the troublemakers? And oh boy, you got the fucking gumbus. Come on down to, you know, Christmas Island, and we'll make you safe. Why wouldn't they do that though?
It's perfect, because there's no way, you know, they can come up with a little device and stick it in your arm and be like, oh, like you just said, I hadn't thought of that. And they already know who the troublemakers are based on things like this. And I'm not worried at all about, you know, it's a privilege to be on the Little Saigon Report, but our internet comments, our email, they can aggregate all that and flag us. So they have that, and they could go around and stick that. And who's going to say anything different? Because this is the invisible weapon, false flag, hoax, whatever you want to call it, World War III, that's so diabolic. It's really setting in now that what you brought up earlier about how they've played this out over, say, a nuke attack, how genius this is, because everyone is going to go along with it for the safety of the community.
Well, and that's it. And that's the thing, is that when you compare this to the other strategies, like what they did on 9/11, causing some buildings to collapse, or, you know, if they had used a nuke, this particular type of strategy, I do think it's an end game. This is why people should be concerned. If you're going to do something like this, this is jumping the shark. This is the final season. This is not something you do in season two.
No.
It's not something you do in chapter five. This is something you do in the final chapter. Okay, this is jumping the shark. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yes. This.
Well, I think that Happy Days was almost over when they jumped the shark. It had maybe another season or two, but I think it was almost done when they jumped the shark.
I'm speechless. I don't have anything to add because it's just absolutely
so. What happens next? That's the thing. If people think about this and they believe for one moment that this could be a constructed event, what the fuck do they think happens next?
To those people that
to human civilization as you know it, what happens next after the giant gumbus? Coronavirus, bat scratch fever bullshit. What is the next thing?
Well, the problem is we don't have enough information, such as the food supply. Like, your rebuttal to my sheep argument was perfect because they might have too many sheep right now and want to, you know, call the herd a bit. That's absolutely an option. The problem is we don't know how many sheep their target is. You know, do they 50% out or take out 10%? That makes it such a huge difference in what they're going to do and then, of course, how they're going to do it, whether they want a large swath or not. Do you have any insight as to
it's really kind of simple, AJ. In fact, that's why this is so fucking ridiculous, so jump the shark, evil and brilliant. It's quite simple.
Okay.
Famines can happen for basically one of two reasons. They are either a natural result of the ecosystem or someone engineered it, okay? I don't know if there's any nature going on here, but it doesn't matter because they can totally engineer a famine. The way that we produce food now, it is trivial for them. 8 out of 10 people in the United States live in an urban environment, which means that they are dependent upon food coming from someplace else. So how do I think they can get rid of people? Simple. Have the pandemic, have the virus get rid of some percentage. The rest are going to die as a result of starvation and the weakness due to starvation and basically society falling apart. Now, the only question is, at the other end of that, is there some percentage of people that they want to keep around? And if you look at this from an atheistic perspective, the answer could be yes. They want some people left around. If you look at this from a Christian perspective, I truly don't know if they want anybody other than a small group of people left around. I really don't know, man.
Yeah, that is a very large question that we're going to need more time.
Well, can I ask do you have a little bit more time today or do you have to go?
No, I have more time. I meant we would need more time as in
observing.
Thank you. Yes, observation to see what direction they're going if they tip their hand at all. You're spot on with this, with the whole toilet paper. Cool. Think
yeah.
of misdirection. I haven't heard that from anybody. That's brilliant.
Well, no,
it makes a lot of sense.
The thing is, and I don't want to interrupt you, but think about it for a second. What's the propaganda that we're told, not just by the state, not just by the people who run the world? What is the propaganda you hear from a lot of alternative people, especially crypto freaks? Technology can't be stopped. Technology is super advanced. They probably have super alien technology and super robots and super nanites and all this technology is here. If all of that is true, AJ, why the fuck do they need most of us?
I was thinking about a number or a percentage perhaps gone that they'd be looking for because they wouldn't want a whole lot of us around. If they do, they're not quite there with their robot utopia, but at the same time, they're comes a point where you just have so many people, they're not serving them the way they are. And with all the Keynesian make work projects, there's a lot of slack in the workforce of just usefulness that they're having to feed. that aren't actually producing, you know, building bridges or making something useful.
The economy, the economy currently is not designed to do productive things. For the most part, the economy is designed currently as we live in it, the central bank economy, is designed to do a lot of unproductive things.
Agreed. And what I wanted to ask was, a lot of our stuff comes from overseas, perhaps China, Taiwan, that area. Not what's going on there with the flu, but could it be they want to keep a percentage of that going, and they could get rid of everybody here because we don't do anything useful as far as creation of manufacturing, that, and then they can all go to Antarctica.
I really don't know. The problem is we're getting into an area of questioning where, because of who we are so far removed in terms of finance and power, we would never probably be – there's no way that you and I could answer this question unless we could shrink ourselves down and be a fly on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting – it's a good kind of fun thought experiment.
But what I can tell you is that let's think about this as a thought experiment. On the one side is techno-utopia, right? So let's pretend that's bullshit. Does that make this scenario better or worse? Let's say all the techno-utopia stuff is crap, that there is future fusion technology, the robot AI stuff is overblown, blah, blah, blah. Let's assume all that techno-utopian shit is like what, you know, James Howard Kunstler says, too much magic. Does that make the situation before us right now better or worse?
I would say better, because they would need more of us to keep the system going without the robots. What do you think about that?
I think I like your answer. That's a good answer. I think it makes it worse.
Okay, how so?
Because the technology is what allowed us to go from approximately a stable population for thousands of years of about 1 billion people to about 8 billion people. Okay, the Norman Borlaug revolution in agriculture, the revolution of pouring essentially oil onto the land and increasing crop yields. Yes, it did. In fact, feed a lot of people, and it created a lot of opportunities for having sex and babies. But in my humble opinion, it brought a lot of people into existence that would, at some point in the future, maybe not them, but their children would be left hanging. That's what I think. I think that if they can't solve, listen, there are lots of problems, AJ, that we can be not so great at solving. For example, if we can't go to Mars, that doesn't necessarily – I mean, I don't give a shit if we can't go to Mars, okay? Big fucking deal. If we can't feed people, it's over.
Yeah, and that would be my number one
– That's why they're not talking about it. That's why they're talking about toilet paper. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm obsessive here, like Beans, you know, the French bulldog. Yeah. He's grabbed onto
– Make sure the bald eagles don't get him.
Oh,
he'd be a tasty treat for them.
He makes the noise. He makes the noise.
Oh, yabba da yabba.
Good. You know, no. He makes the noise that the birds of prey, they key in on.
He
sounds like an animal in distress.
Oh, no. Not Beans.
Yeah. So he goes out, and the thing is, if flights shut down, the only thing saving Beans right now is he lives pretty close to the airport. So if the flights keep going, he'll be okay. But if the flights shut down, you're going to see the ca-ca, the eagles come in, and the hawks, man, a golden eagle will probably see him, and the golden eagle will want to feed its family. And that's all I'm going to say. It'll swoop down, foomp, pull him away, and be like, goodbye, Beans, goodbye.
Oh, no, he's going to find a way. I know you don't have much faith in his intellect, but I think deep down there's –
I think he's smart. No. I think he's smart. Do I think he's practical?
Hey, he had to make do with the throw rug, and he made it work. So it's something. Just because you wouldn't do it, or I wouldn't do it, we can't judge him. If he gets off, he gets off. Anyways, I wanted to say that on a serious note, if I could get one piece of information, and this supports and goes follows up to your point about the food, is where we are in the true, not make-believe, the true supply and demand food production and consumption, because that would really help. I know we're not going to get that answer right now, but that would really help drive the number I think we're going to get down to, and how things would play out more. Because if we're just, you know, that, yes, everything's just in time, but how much capability are they holding back on or bumping up against and barely making it? I don't know that answer because
I think as of right now, you know, it's funny. I saw a documentary on peak oil 10 years ago. And one of the things that was mentioned is that the amount of reserve oil is considered secret, top secret information to various governments. For example, you remember WikiLeaks coming out in 2016?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the classified diplomatic summaries had to do with the Saudis admitting that they were pumping more water out of Ghawar, the biggest oil field, than they were pumping oil. That was a big deal. That would have shocked a lot of people. I don't think people are shocked by it right now, but it would have shocked a lot of people. The thing is, what if the peak oil thing is less of a concern? What if the real secret, the thing nobody wants anybody talking about, and it's right in front of your face, because what do they constantly tell us? There's tons of obesity. There's an obesity epidemic. There is an obesity epidemic. And I'm not saying people aren't overweight, AJ, but an obesity epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What if the opposite is true? That while it's true there are a lot of people in the United States who have lots of cheap food, well, it's a lot of crappy food too, isn't it? But what if it's worse? What if it's the case that, yeah, there are lots of people who are overweight, but the food thing is basically on a margin? It's like most things these days. It's on a margin. And if the margin tilts the wrong direction, there is no food at the store. It's a lot like the concept of a clearing price. You know, it's something that people don't understand with respect to oil, but they really need to understand. It's not just that I would like to pay $2 a gallon. Okay, that's nice. I'd like someone to give me $1 million. That'd be even nicer, right? You know, or at least gold or whatever. It's not just enough to say, I want to pay $2 a gallon. There has to be a supplier who can produce the gallon of gasoline at that price. If there isn't, you're not going to buy any fucking fuel ever.
No. Yeah, you're right about the clearing price. It's more than just, you have to apply it for more than just oil, of course. And if we have been going off of margin and barely making it, that perhaps this is why they're ramping up the flu narrative this year and put the extra bioweapon out there, whatever it might have been, and because they know this is coming and it's here. So I think that ties in nicely.
I think that it's 50-50 if this is engineered or real. It could be both. I really don't know. I can tell you it looks like the ecosystem here is not doing so great, but maybe magically the ecosystem's doing great everywhere else you need to do food, not California. Their ecosystem's crashing. It looks like the Midwest got pummeled, but someplace the ecosystem's still okay for growing food. And if someone comes back and says, well, what about hydroponics? I have to shake my head and say, yes, you could grow food with hydroponics, but not for 8 billion people.
No. Uh-uh. And that's, again, where I keep thinking, I wish I had the real numbers of, I would just be curious where all the food comes from, because it's such a black box. And you drive through the country and there's all this open land. Yes, some of it's used for farm beans, soybeans or corn, just in Kansas over winter break. Not that there's anything in bloom, but my wife's family has some farmland out there. And you know, they do create the soybeans and the corn and cows. So it's out there, but just to see where we are, because 8 billion Bengal tigers is so many Bengal tigers that it could be very likely a shortage in the near future, or we know the food's not that great, so they might have had a backstock that they've been eating into, and they know it's up against it and time to make a move to call the herd.
I don't really know what the real cause is, and as I stated, it could be artificial, but does it fucking matter? The potato famine was in part an artificial event, not totally, but in part. It was an act of warfare against people, an act of, you know, I wouldn't call it genocide, but certainly a crime against humanity that's never been reconciled. So there was part of the potato famine that was real, but the whole thing? No, the whole thing was partially constructed too. And we've done the same thing with Native Americans, except for now, you and I, everybody's on the same reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Imagine what the good, you know, American government did the Native Americans in the 19th century on reservations. Okay? And then imagine them applying that same moral reasoning to 300 million Americans. That's how I look at it. It doesn't matter to me if it's 100% real, because a famine is just as bad if it's engineered as whether it's real. Okay? How many people do you know could run out into the country and start growing food tomorrow?
Oh, very few. And but there's the capability to have the knowledge, and then there's the ability to actually not be bothered by anybody.
And true or false, if you did have all those things, all the resources, would you be able to grow food tomorrow that could feed you the next day?
I'm not an expert.
That's common sense,
but it's a good point, because it's you need, in addition to those first two things, the ability and the knowledge. By ability, I mean not having your own, to have your own space and not have the government or someone come by and take it, be left alone. And then the knowledge and then the time to create it. That's where the rice is very good. Going to plug that again. It's very helpful and nice backstock. And what they did with the Native Americans, yeah, they don't care about human life. They, for whatever reason, they use us on the animal farms to keep whatever games they want to keep going. They have no problem shutting it all down. And that's really a sad but a true thing to be aware of.
The most important thing, though, is time.
Yeah.
You don't get to go to Kansas and plant a seed and eat dinner tonight or tomorrow. It takes time for crops to grow. So even if there were people who could get out into the fucking middle of nowhere, they're still going to need food on hand until they get the first crop.
Oh, yeah. And that,
well,
that's where I'm Tierra del Fuego. If we can somehow pull our resources, I know we've talked about before.
I wish we could do it tomorrow at this point, because based upon my experiences of the last couple days, I think the crazy is about to go up way up. I'm tired of telling people. I'm tired of people saying to me, you know, Dan, you told us about this. Well, great. I told you about it years ago. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like friends of mine. Like 6, 7, 8 years ago, I suspected that civilization as we know it was about to come to an end. Not because of stuff I heard crazy environmentalists say, not because of anything other than complexity. Yeah. Anything other than that, it became obvious to me that we have built a Rube Goldberg civilization, and all of the discussion about artificial intelligence, all that conversation is irrelevant in comparison to complexity.
Oh, so true. And I used to buy into the narrative of the computers are going to, technology will out-tech ourselves of any problem. And that's clear. I always bring up the Roomba, that piece of shit cleaning device, that we're not that good. They're not that good. And we have to be thinking about our families and ourselves to get through, because there are so many dumb people out there. I'm not saying it would be easy. I'm just saying it's possible, especially having, you know, our next podcast is going to be on water filtration. We're going to do another one on the ways to communicate off grid, perhaps. And we have a leg up. You know, just having this conversation today is helpful for me personally. And I hope the listeners can take something away from this. But there are a lot of people that are gone. And if we just have some options and cracks in the system, whether we go to Colorado or not, or tier, or just hold put and set up networks where we're communicating information to stay in our places and hold our ground, I see a possibility.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying.
Okay, dude, I'm not saying. In fact, another thing that's come out of the last couple of days is I don't think the world is coming to an end. I don't. But do I think a lot of people's worlds are about to end? Yeah, a lot of people who've connected themselves to a dying civilization are going to go through a very painful process, and it will create a lot of confusion. And I don't even know what to say except for sorry. But people said things. There were people. I said things for 5 years. I said, don't keep more. If you're like me, don't keep more than $500 in the bank. Don't keep it someplace else. Buy gold. Buy silver. Buy land. Buy food, buy guns, buy bullets. Don't keep more than $500 in the bank. Nobody listened. I told people for 5 years, get out of your fucking retirement funds. Don't believe me. Do your own research. This will come to an end. There is no mathematical way. Forget all the shit we talked about. There is no mathematical way at an interest rate that is greater than 1% for the world as a whole to pay off all of its debts, let alone each country. So get out of the investments. I would say if people don't have a way to get out of their 401k right now, then they're fucked. That's my honest opinion about investments. If you don't get out of your investments right now that are paper investments, I don't care if they're stocks or bonds, I don't care if it's a 401k. If you don't have a way to get out right now, you are fucked. You follow me? You're not going to see it. You're not going to see any of that fucking money. That money is gone. I will say that. Am I 100% sure? I am 98% sure. That's one thing I would tell people right now, 98% sure that all that paper shit, if you don't get out now, in a few weeks, you won't be able to.
I couldn't agree. Personally, don't have anything in those accounts. Not that I'm sitting on a ton of liquidity, but since over the last year, if I did have any extra money, I would use it for, it wasn't food until recently, till you gave me that insight about 2 months ago, but it was to buy things for water, to clean water, some of the stuff with the welding for fabrication. I would like to make money, but that could all change if the whole paradigm collapses on itself, because it'd still be self-sufficient. So to build skills. And that fiat currency, I can't even make a Bitcoin joke. I was going to, but I can't. It's such a serious thing. It's a great advice to move yourself out of a fiat, whatever that might mean for you personally.
I'm not saying go into crypto, dude.
I was going to make a crypto.
Go ahead.
No. I think crypto is a joke. I was going to make a joke about it, but I said I did make a joke because it's such a serious topic. Not Bitcoin at all. No Bitcoin. That's a terrible thing. To put themselves into food, water, shelter, or just if you stock up on propane tanks. That's things off the top of my head that you think you'll need to help your family. And you don't want to go into lockdown mode and be terrified, but have at least the ability to create clean water and some food supply. Not going to hurt anything. And that fiat currency, I mean, think about the Roman, the highest point of Rome, and being a wealthy person in Rome, that all got transitioned and shifted and people had to deal with it. And we are looking at the game of musical chairs, and we're the ones left standing up here. This timeline, us in the timeline of America's power. So, yeah, great advice, Dan. No Bitcoin.
Well, no, like I said, I would not be in any financial instrument right now except for have maybe some cash on hand. Have cash on hand, not in the bank. And then the rest of it, if you have so much money, I would buy some fucking property someplace. And I would, if you don't know how to farm, find yourself somebody who does and get your shit together. Because the time to do this, listen, 5 years ago would have been difficult for a lot of people. Right now, it's pretty much almost impossible. Because with a medical quarantine, with medical martial law, they could shut down all travel. You see what I'm getting at here, dude?
Yeah, I was thinking about the property. The property's tricky. I'm not disagreeing with you. If I had a lot of money, but if you could get someplace rather rural would be important, because obviously I'm concerned about their reach. I think they do have the capability with their planes and stuff to see what people are up to, and
I know they do. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing we can do about the fact that if they want to kill us, they can kill us. Let's just get that out of the way.
Agreed.
All right? If they want to kill us, they'll wipe us out if they want to. They have every tool available. They've shown that already. I'm saying if there's any practical action a person can take, it doesn't involve financial instruments at this point. A week or so ago, I might have said they're setting this up for the last crack-up boom. As of right now, I think they're pulling the plug. I really do. I think that life as we know it is probably over. And what it looks like on the other side could be hyperstatism, which frankly a medical quarantine sets things up for hyperstatism really well. And when I say hyperstatism, I mean, think Patriot Act, but 10,000 times worse.
Yes, and that's a high probability because I always think, you know, we're already there, but it can get worse. It can get much, much worse as far as the hyperstatism goes. And two, that food question, we not to get back into it, but if anybody lives in a rural area and they, I don't know, that wouldn't, that's so localized, but damn it, Dan, if we knew where they were at with the food, I feel we could really piece together where they're going here, because if there is, it's back to your question of if the robots thing was real, you know, are they going to kill more or less of us? But what if, you know, if we knew the food situation, we could see, is this just going to be more hyperstatism and glowing rectangles, or are they going for the big one where they're going to call 90%?
I don't know, but what I am going to tell you is you can live without toilet paper. You cannot live without food.
Very true. Very true.
You can live without Bitcoin. You can live without gold and silver. You can live without your 401k. You can live without your car. You cannot live without food. And I know that may sound, well, Dan, that sounds stupid. There are a lot of stupid people out there. They need to hear this over and over again. You cannot exist without food.
Food and water, which
I agree.
Next podcast, we are going to talk about making your own water filters, and also just the whole aspect and understanding of, to the best of our combined knowledge and a good conversation, how to clean water and the there's options for that, and it doesn't take much money or resource. Something else people could put together. Because you can go a while without food. You've talked about
you're ready to go
if you needed to. And the water, though, you'd miss that pretty quick if you couldn't find the clean. Because then you might start dipping into some unclean water, and that will finish you off incredibly fast. So
it will. And water is critical. Don't get me wrong. Water is critical. And technically, water kills you faster than not having food. But with a little bit of common sense, and this is what I hope in our next podcast we can talk about, people on planet Earth with a little bit of common sense can figure out a way to create clean water for themselves. It's not the same thing with food. In fact, before we leave this, you remember that Bloomberg comment from a number of weeks ago where he said anybody can go raise food?
I missed it, but I'm...
Yeah. Well, he did. He came out and said that I could go farm tomorrow. Anybody can farm. Not everybody can, you know, write code. And it's like, holy shit, dude.
He said that?
Yes, he said it. Michael Bloomberg said, anybody can go farm. It's wow. So easy.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how fucking stupid is that?
Yeah.
But you know what, though? When you consider the narrative, consider what's important.
Toilet paper and coding.
Michael Bloomberg says, anybody can farm. Wow. Boy, that helps a lot of people feel good about, you know, the reality they're in right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're on to something with this toilet paper idea. I'll talk more to you later, but I like the misdirection thing. And yes, yeah, of course, he's playing the role in the narrative to get people to placate themselves. Yeah.
Why worry? Michael Bloomberg just said anybody can farm. All you do is pour water on sand and plant a seed and you're fine. That's what he said. And there are a lot of people in this society who believe the bullshit that these people say because of their political affiliation.
Did he say sand?
I just said that myself. Okay. But if you're going to come out in five sentences and basically say anybody can farm, he might as well have said it.
I agree. I just wanted to clarify if he did say it.
No, he didn't say that. He just said anybody can farm and it's so easy. And I'm paraphrasing a little, but that's essentially what he said, dude. I'm going to look up the quote right now because no. Before we go, let's look up the fucking brilliant quote from Michael Bloomberg. Michael, asshole Bloomberg, anyone can be a farmer. There we go. Oh, boy. Let's see. Okay. Mike Bloomberg once said he could teach anyone to be a farmer because farmer needs less gray matter than modern work. That's the quote.
Wow. Wow. That's insulting.
It's stupid. Are you kidding me? Most of modern work is repetitive bullshit.
Keynesian make work projects.
Right.
That's a great line. Is that a Dr. Grunkus observation or Daniel Sullivan?
Which one? The make work what?
Keynesian make work project. No, just that phrase.
Everyone everyone says shit like that sometimes on the Austrian side, but I won't take credit for common sense.
I've heard, you know, Keynes, I don't know the way, maybe it's the way you say it, or I have need to read up more on my Austrian side of financial, but it's a great statement. And Michael Bloomberg is a, well, he's something.
But think about what that fucking meme represents. It is a way of communicating the following. Don't worry about food.
Yeah, buy toilet paper and hand sanitizer. And they just have that keep the Grandin Templeton, right?
And I'm gonna be the contrarian on this one. I'm gonna tell you the virus might get scary, but the food situation is what's gonna kill. In my humble opinion, what could end up killing most of the people as a result of this will be lack of food.
It's possible. It's
possible, yeah. Because the logistical system itself is that fucking fragile. Modernity is that fucking fragile. We look at this technological world, you know, it's like the way you talked about it in terms of automation making things better, maybe, but it makes it more fragile. Most of the people you know can't fix shit in their life. They can't fix their fucking car. They definitely can't fix their fucking phone. And if the systems break down for communication, guess what? Most of them can't fix that either. Yeah. And we haven't even discussed boiling water nuclear reactors yet.
No. And they're sitting there thinking their Bitcoin's going to make it through it all. Such a joke. And the whole topic of energy being available for people to tap into, that's all taken for granted as well. I know we've covered it with the abstract dam, but that's another angle just to be thinking about if you want it, not you personally, but people just if they're able, I don't know if they had a backup generator and some propane. I got a few solar panels that do work.
Yeah, I think all that's great, dude. But in my humble opinion, people need to be thinking in terms of the basics right now. They need to be someplace safe if they can afford it. Most of us can't. Most of us are stuck where we're at. They need to be someplace where they have access to clean water and clean soil and clean air, because to grow food, you need clean soil and clean water and clean air. They need to have those things. A lot of people, AJ, don't have access to those things.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick and tired of this hydroponic bullshit. I had people on Twitter telling me that I could grow enough food. This is how fucking delusional people are. I could grow food in my 200 square foot apartment, my whatever, 200 square foot fucking hole. How the fuck's that going to ever happen? The air is polluted. Where am I going to get the soil that's not polluted?
Yeah.
Maybe I could grow some sprouts and potatoes. But I certainly am not going to grow enough to survive.
No, it takes, well, we've all taken that for granted by being able to go to the store. But it takes a while. And if you're going to do it indoors, you're going to need a lot of space, and you got to get irrigation lines in there or something. I mean, to get enough of it. And like you said, the clean soil, clean air. Oh, there's so much that goes into it. You can't just put a few seeds and sand and expect it to grow.
No,
so.
You can't. It's not as easy as Michael Bloomberg described. It's not. In fact, it's the opposite. It's not a low IQ thing. To farm sustainably in 2020, it's a higher IQ thing. You have to know more things than just how to code. See, this is part of that whole fucking bait and switch, but I'll leave it here. AJ, it's not just how you and your family are going to approach a lack of food. It's how all the strangers that live in the city, if you live in a city like me, it's how they approach it too. And believe me, I don't care how rational you are and peaceful you are. If you're surrounded by people that think that toilet paper is the most important fucking item they need to buy right now, I think you're fucked. I think you're surrounded by crazy people who will very, very quickly migrate to eating people as soon as they run out of food. They will quickly discover the long pig within about a month or two. That's what I think is the reality. So a lot of people are kind of just pretending their biggest problem is going hungry. Maybe not. Their biggest problem is someone busting down their fucking door.
At that point. Yeah. And for some reason, when I was a kid, I was 8 years old, and the movie Night of the Living Dead, where the African-American gentleman's in the basement. I don't know if you saw it. Maybe it was Night of the Living Dead 2, but that was the scariest movie I ever saw. And I don't really watch horror movies anymore. But to think, you know, what you just described brought me back there for a moment. And it just people knocking down your door trying, and they're literally zombies. It all fits in now. And that is why I romanticize about Tierra del Fuego. I'm going to leave it there. I'm not putting any pressure on you, Mr. Dan, but we're just going to leave that open. Any other listeners, if I'm sure they're aware of what that involves. Does it, by the way, Tierra del Fuego has options. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to say anything else.
And I would say this as far as Tierra del Fuego goes. It's kind of a romantic joke on my part. Like, I don't know how serious I was. I know that I've talked to a friend of mine about another location. I don't want to talk about it on the air. But I have spoken to another friend about it. And if we did mention it in the previous podcast, the one I did yesterday, you can listen to that one. But there is another location we can consider. And I don't want to talk about it on the air, but there is one. So it's something I'll try to communicate to you. And maybe after we do try to do this next week, do a podcast on being able to produce clean, healthy water. I think the next one we have to do, just keep it simple, how to exchange public keys for encrypted email.
Yes, that'd be great.
And before I go, I just want to emphasize this. The reason why I did that intro, folks, and I just want to thank you, AJ. Sorry if I came off a little bit harsh today. It's just, you know, I've had a couple of things in the last couple of days got me kind of off. But the reason why I had to cover that at the beginning is because if someone says something, and this is really critical, if someone says something that is extraordinary, like the world is going to come to an end, then it is your obligation to keep track of everything they fucking say. Because in my view, that person is either telling you the truth, they are themselves deceived, or they're deliberately lying, and you need to figure out which one. That's my advice to my listeners. If you think I am deceiving you, my best advice is don't fucking listen. If you think that I'm deliberately trying to tell you lies, don't fucking listen. It's not complicated. If there's an idiot out there that listens to me, even though they think I'm lying to them, I can't help you. You know, you actually probably do need therapy. But don't listen to people that are lying to you. And one way to discover a lie, and this is really critical, is look at their motivations. If someone tells you, for example, the world's coming to an end, but they're kind of pissed off about not having enough money, then that leads me to believe that maybe the world's not coming to an end, because why the fuck do they care about money right now? I don't mean enough money to buy some food. I mean the kind of money that goes beyond that. So for all my listeners, I just want you to know that. And AJ, I really appreciate your time. I'm sorry we went so long. Just
food,
to let you know.
Water and shelter.
It's been food, a pleasure. Water, shelter.
It's been a pleasure, Dan, as always, to be on the Little Saigon Report, and look forward to the future weeks where we get to discuss water and encryption in two different podcasts. So I hope everyone has a nice afternoon and stay safe from Deflator Mouse. I wanted to say that for a while on the podcast, from the Deflator Mouse and any monkey herpes that may be locally cropping up. So take care, everybody.
I too hope that nobody gets the monkey herpes, and we'll leave it at that, okay?